Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com, here with your post-Raw review for November 29th, 2021. Brought to you by athleticgreens.com/Fightful. We've got Denise Salcedo. Denise, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty all right. This feels like a mellow Monday. Like, don't you feel like pretty calm? I feel pretty calm,
yeah. Cool
and collected. Very chill, very relaxed.
I started Raw much later. I mean, I've been editing a lot of stuff from WrestleCade. You had GCW yesterday. We both had pretty busy weekends. Thanksgiving was last week. Lots of stuff going on. But guys, we hope that you're here chilling with us. Please leave a thumbs up on the video. Subscribe, tap that bell for notifications. You can donate a super chat on YouTube, but we encourage you to go to humperchats.com. That's our Streamlabs platform. It allows us to keep a little bit more of your donations. And you can donate a Humper Chat. We really encourage you to use humperchats.com. But also this week, we have an interview with Caprice Coleman dropping, talking about ROH, the future of ROH and the like. And this week, I am dropping Inside NXT War Games. Earlier this year, I did an Inside the Royal Rumble feature. This is a little bit more, a little bit shorter than those. But this is a look inside NXT War Games. The video is already up on FightfulSelect.com for all subscribers. I talked to Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong, Raquel Gonzalez, Tommaso Ciampa, Alexander Wolf. Lots of people. You guys are really going to like this. It's a collection of stories from that. So show it some love. Denise, you ready
yes.
to talk Raw? What'd you think of today's Raw?
I didn't think it was a bad show. It was a long show. I felt all 3 hours, but it wasn't a bad show, though. Like, I thought for the most part, there was some entertaining stuff. It was totally different from last week's episode. Last week's episode, like I said, it was just felt like it was completely altered, kind of felt very unexpected. There were some weird stuff, which we'll talk about with like Vince McMahon and Austin Theory and all of that. That was very weird. There was a not so great women's match. There was some other stuff. I didn't think it was that great, but anyways, we'll get to that in just a second. But either way, I thought the rest of the show was like pretty decent. Oh, and I did like, well, we'll talk about that in a second. It wasn't a bad show.
Yeah, I didn't mind it as much. I actually quite liked it in comparison to a lot of the other stuff that I see. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a pretty good show. We've got a Humper Chat from USD saying, just thought I'd say hi to my Fightful favorites. No cap, just sap. And Denise Salsa Dude didn't get to watch live because of work. But I'll come once I'm off. Great day. Or I'll come back once I'm off. Denise, how many Step Host tweets did you get?
So many. I lost count. It was nonstop. So if you actually clicked on the hashtag Step Host, it was all about everything that happened on Fightful and about me. And I just started thinking, my God, if my like future employer ever goes on this and it's like, why the hell is Denise on Pornhub? Why the hell is Step Host a thing with Denise Salcedo? Just click on the hashtag. Apparently, you'll get all the information you need there.
We put the clip up on youtube.com/FightfulScraps.
You did? I didn't see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Kyler did.
the whole clip?
Yeah. The whole clip. Whole clip.
I avoided the comment section on YouTube. So I went on like right after the show. So I knew there weren't going to be that many comments yet. And I left a comment, but I never went back. I was too scared.
Why?
I don't know, Sean. It was very scary, very traumatic experience.
Hmm. Did you, so I explained it to you afterwards, Denise.
Yeah, I know you did. What do you want to go with this, Sean?
I don't know. I'm just trying to see how your life has changed 1 week post step host.
Well, and without giving too much detail about my post life after that post show, I had a very interesting conversation with my fiance who explained the dishwasher. No, not the dishwasher thing, the washing thing, the washing machine thing, and the whole like step post, the whole phrase thing, explained it to me. And yeah, it was very, very traumatic experience. That's all I've got to say. I was trying to get over the events of last week, Sean.
The events of last week, like you discovering what a step host was?
No, just like discovering, like, just it was just too much information.
What? Discovering what?
It was just too much information, okay? And then I learned some other stuff that I didn't even want to know about. And it was just like,
what'd you learn?
No, I don't want to talk about what I learned because I think people are going to think I'm dumb.
No, thanks.
That's already out there. I don't need to add fuel to the fire.
No, we don't think you're dumb. We think you're innocent. Like, it's an endearing quality, Denise.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. Almost as endearing as when you guys donate Humper Chats. Let's go ahead and get into Raw. Steve Jenkins says, would love to hear your both of your early picks for the men's and women's Royal Rumble winners. As always, thanks for the content. Cheers from Australia.
Is it safe to say it feels too early and I don't have an answer yet? I have zero answer now.
And they have a real lack of main event talent near the top. I wouldn't be surprised if two horsewomen simultaneously win the Rumble. That wouldn't surprise me.
Based off tonight, the only person I can predict is Austin Theory.
Oh, God. Could you imagine?
Just literally, if you told me, like, Denise, based off of tonight's Monday Night Raw episode, who would you think is going to win the Royal Rumble? I'd probably be like, well, Austin Theory. Isn't that sad? That's kind of sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
So oh, do you think I'm going somewhere with that? Because you look like you kind of like just realized something.
No, let's go ahead and talk about that. Vince is backstage with Austin Theory. By the way, guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. It greatly helps us. Ah, man. So Vince is backstage. And so Jeremy's off work this week. And as you know, Jeremy is like the headline god. Like he's really good at creating headlines out of nothing. Well, I made sure to assign Gisberto the Vince McMahon says that he has irritable bowel syndrome. Headline.
And the toenail thing? The toenail thing?
That's not nearly as important as irritable bowel syndrome, right?
Well, like irritable bowel syndrome, what does that mean? You just have to poop a lot?
Yeah.
That's it. That's literally all it means.
Yeah, pretty much. You got irritable bowels.
Oh. Okay, continue on. I thought the toenail thing was more gross.
What?
He said he had an ingrown toenail, didn't he? Or something about a toenail. There was something in there about a toenail. I thought that was disgusting.
He said he had an ingrown toenail. Yeah. But how is that more gross than irritable? Anyway.
Because I visualized it.
During this, he's like, Austin, you're going to hang out with me tonight. We're going to see if people are expecting the unexpected, yada, yada. And this is nothing. This is pointless. Every time they cut back, it is pointless. Until the very end when Vince just slaps Austin Theory across the face because he's showing him to expect the unexpected, right? That's the whole moral of the story. And then
Was the moral of the story?
That was it. And Vince is like,
I don't even think I understood the moral of the story.
It's because Austin Theory didn't expect the unexpected and he got slapped in the face for it.
But what does this have to do with him stealing the egg?
I don't know. Beats me.
Okay, continue on.
I don't have an answer to that, but Vince is like, you got a lot to learn, kid. I don't know where this is going. I know Vince was, as Fightful Select reported, was a bit of a make good for the original idea for the egg. But man, this was just like, well, okay. I mean, it's at least intriguing to see Vince on the show, but I don't know where the hell this is going.
See, here's the thing about this. I don't know if you had reported it earlier that Vince was going to be on today's show. If you did, I missed it.
I had no idea.
Okay. All right. Well, I wasn't expecting to see Vince McMahon on today's show. And I wasn't expecting a follow-up to this whole, and not even the egg thing, because that really wasn't really necessarily brought up. You know, it's mentioned like one thing, but not necessarily the actual egg. But I kind of feel like after last week, I thought we were over and done with. That's it. We weren't going to see any follow-up to this Vince McMahon, Austin Theory thing.
I didn't think so either.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting for this to continue. So when this continued, I thought, where are we going with this? Is Vince McMahon either A, tricking Austin Theory, or B, is he going to train him to become some sort of protege? Is this going to be a thing where like he becomes fond of the guy? Because after this, I still don't think I really know. Like, yeah, he slaps him and everything, but I don't know if he just put him through that just to torture him the entire time or what. Like, are we going to continue to see more of this? Is this going another direction?
Because
I can't make up the direction it's going in, Sean.
Could you imagine? Volob says Denise's naivete. Man,
naivety.
Yes.
Naivety,
okay. So every time I read that word, I pronounce it wrong, even though I know what it is I'm saying. She says it's endearing and makes Fightful money. Never change, Denise. Cher Delaware says Denise just needs to message me from now on. I'll explain everything. I am not innocent. And Matt McClure says now we have to explain to our wives what humperchat.com is on our banking statement. Great. Keep up the work.
Wait,
great
it comes bit. Up as
no, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Way,
it doesn't.
I was about good. To say.
But I got to say this. Look at this, Denise. Look at this overlay. Isn't that beautiful? Humper Chats by
Sean,
Fightful.
You made it. You know
our
what it
graphics
looks like?
Team did. Why?
It looks like one of those health brochures.
I know.
It's the perfect coloring. Like, hey, you're going to go to this clinic and we're going to cure you of your Humper Chats.
Oh, we're putting that on a t-shirt. Look, it's cool. It's even got like the pyramids in the background, but it's the humps of a camel. That was pretty cool, I thought. JW Pringle says, mental health moment. This is a hard time of year for a lot of people. If you feel like you need help, please reach out. We need you here with us. You're loved and worthy. We are in your corner. Every time JW Pringle does this, I want to plug NAMI Communicate on Twitter. NAMI does a lot of great work, so please support them. Richie Goodacre says, I loathe piped in crowd noise. I get it with TD, but with an actual crowd, it's insulting. He meant the Thunderdome, and you can't tell what's over. I agree, Denise. The sad reality is a lot of people aren't making noise for what's going on, so they feel like they have to pipe it in. But I have had people at the shows that claim that they have heard it piped in through speakers. I would think they probably lay it in over top of audio in production, but there are people I talk to that claim that they hear it at the venue. I can't really speak to that because I haven't experienced it, but I do. One of the things I was most excited for was, for better or for worse, I wanted to know what was over and what wasn't over, or what nobody even cared about, Denise.
Well, see, here's the thing. If they did it, it's sometimes hard for me to tell when it's piped in and when it's not piped in. I mean, unless I'm literally getting a nice visual of the crowds. And if I'm hearing cheering and I'm seeing the crowd just like, you know, sitting there eating a hot dog, then I know for sure they're not necessarily, you know, going mad about it. And for the most part, there's times where you can tell. But there's times where I can't always tell. But here's the thing, too, is that if they were doing it the way that you said, the fans said, that they did, where they could hear it, that would make a little bit more sense to me, because when you're at the show, you tend to get like motivated or more amped to like cheer for something if like other people are cheering in the stadium or arena or wherever the hell you're in. It could at least maybe convince some people to get a little hyped, because sometimes you can't always tell, you know, what section is starting the chants and, you know, all of that. So, I mean, I don't know.
Nerd Guru,
it does suck.
Well, there was a super chat from Nerd Guru that just disappeared on the back end. I need that back to our moderator.
Are you going to yell at Louise?
It's Louise. Louise. Louise? Who's Louise? Come on.
Do you not like the way I said Louise?
Come on.
Fine, then I'll say Louise.
Nerd Guru says, hope you all had a great weekend. It's official. Raw is better than SmackDown. There's a lot more I like, and it feels like more is going on and matters more. Based on what I saw tonight, like if it were a 2-hour show, gosh, it would blow a lot of shows out of the water. If this were a 2-hour Raw and they kept in the really important stuff and just kind of did away with the not important stuff, I think this would have been a flat out awesome program. But man, I didn't get to watch SmackDown until today, Denise, and that show sucked. It was bad.
That's the thing. And here's the thing that has kind of been like driving me nuts is that I feel we've been getting bad episodes of SmackDown, but because Raw has been, you know, not so great, I feel like that has sort of been protecting SmackDown, where like everybody's like, oh yes, I know SmackDown's technically the A show, it's on Fox and all of that, but there have been some pretty shitty episodes of SmackDown where I'm like, what is everybody talking about? Like, I know you guys hate Raw, but SmackDown ain't levels above Raw. That's one of the things that does drive me nuts, because you know I watch both shows and I kind of feel like sometimes there's a little bit of an injustice, but like you said, if this show was trimmed down to 2 hours, this one in particular that we're talking about, it wouldn't be terrible.
Yeah, I think that SmackDown has Roman Reigns, and for a long time, if you had Roman Reigns on your show doing what he's doing now, it was by default the best show.
But it's not enough anymore. Sean,
you're right,
it's not enough.
Cyclops says AEW is coming to DC and I will have a step host sign. Brendan says, I appreciate Pringle's mental health reminders. It's always helpful for people to hear. Must be a good person. He is a good person. And I can tell you that stuff like that does help out an awful lot. We've got a bunch of super chats and humper chats about Austin Theory and Vince. Hannah says Monday Night Raw is going to be saved by Vince, Theory, and an egg. Oh, I had some information on FightfulSelect.com today about the original plans for the egg, and they were bad. They were just bad. Jonathan Hedman says, it may be post-rotator cuff surgery medication working on me, but I like this week's Raw. Curious as to what's up with Austin and McMahon. Okay, I would kind of like it if Vince was like losing it on screen and he just hates Austin Theory because his first name is Austin, and he's reliving all of his hateful moments from 25 years ago.
I get that, but like, let's not tie it into
dementia
this Austin
is
Theory stuff, okay?
Denise.
Let's not tie it into this Austin Theory stuff because it's not great, and that was great,
Vince,
and this is not great. I don't want to get it mixed in.
Vince is going to show up and be like, you've ruined it, damn it! And like be complaining about Austin Theory messing up his Mike Tyson plans and all kinds of stuff. Oh, I can't wait.
Please,
James
no.
Nepper says, if I could take a Hail Mary of a guess, I'd say Vince is prepping Theory to be GM.
That's what I was thinking too.
Oh, it sounds like a bad idea though.
But that's what that's the intentions that they gave us. That's what he implied when he kept saying, so what did you learn about the night? And did that surprise you? And did you see that coming? And what did you think about this?
Crazy says, sending this before Raw is over, so this could be wrong. What if the Vince and Austin Theory stuff is like Vince training his successor? After all, Vince did say he's like him. On a side note, one of the best episodes of Raw in a long time. It's good to see positive reaction to Raw. That's not happened of late. And I felt good after this episode of Raw. Seems like a lot of people are subscribing to that theory, Denise.
Oh, come on. Damn. But... I have no words, man. Like, we had this is crazy that this was probably one of the best episodes of Raw that we've had in a while. Yet the majority of a show, or at least like what, maybe five times that we saw Vince McMahon and Austin Theory, like maybe five different occasions that they showed him on screen. It was probably some of the most pointless things we've ever seen until we finally get to the slap at the end. But somehow it was part of one of the best shows that we've seen. I don't know what that says, man. Also, another thing. I watched Red Notice, Sean, and I don't know how you didn't get the egg thing right away when Vince McMahon came out with the egg when you had already seen the movie.
Well, Denise, that's easy to say a week after it happened, but I wasn't immediately in my head like, oh yeah, Red Notice paid WWE $1 million to do a stupid ass storyline with an egg.
When the egg came out, come on, they showed the egg a bunch of times in the movie. I watched the movie and I was like, I would have gotten
Denise,
it had I watched the movie
you're
beforehand.
Saying that a week later, like I
dude, it was obvious.
I did not think Vince McMahon was coming back to do an egg storyline, Denise.
Well, no, but I'm saying the second you saw the egg,
well,
then
yeah,
you would have known.
Then I was like, are they really doing this? Is this the tie-in? Yeah, but my first reaction was Vince is back. Why's he got an egg? And then I was like, is that the Red Notice egg? It was really weird. Hannah says, Can't wait for Vince to turn on him and yell, "It was me all along, Austin." Yes, I want him to bust out all these lines. At least pop me. Crazy says, last one for the night. That slap to the face of Theory either makes me want a feud between them, or where they fight at day one, or Austin and Vince just keep being on the show every Monday watching Raw, where he teaches Theory every week. I want them to be like the old Muppets at the top of the theater.
I'm sorry, Sean. This is depressing me. This is just not. No, I'm sorry. It's just like, I can't even find the humor in it.
Oh, come on.
Negative Nancy. I don't care.
Guys, please share this video on social media. It helps us out. It spreads the word, all that good stuff. And please keep leaving a thumbs up and getting those humper chats in. Seth Rollins came out and he got his ass whooped by Finn Balor. Now, I like this because Seth beat the brakes off of Finn last week, and Finn stepped right back up and matched that energy and whipped his ass, did not wait for the bell. Why would he? And then what we got after that was a good match where the person challenging for the title won. The booking made sense. The aggression made sense. The match was good. Of course the match was good with these two. I like this. This is just common sense stuff. From the open where Balor attacks to the end where Seth wins. Sometimes the heel can just win a damn match, and I'm okay with that. What'd you think, Denise?
I'm 50-50 on this. I like the attack right away. Finn Balor should be pissed off. He really, really should, okay? And he was, and he showed that today. I like the match as well. Each guy essentially hit their signature stuff. It was a fun matchup. Cool. You know, when you have both Seth and Finn Balor, you know you're going to get a nice high-level intensity, you know, matchup. It wasn't anything, you know, great, amazing. I'm going to forget about it by next week, but it was enjoyable to watch, okay? But when did, like, and I've been saying this, but I'm sorry, but Finn Balor has just lost so much edge, man. Like, he doesn't feel cool anymore to me. And this is all I keep thinking about whenever I keep seeing this. And I kept thinking about it even today where I was like, I get it. I get what they're doing. And I think it was the right call to have a Seth Rollins win and all that. But Finn Balor has lost so much of his edge, man. They need to spice things up again with Finn Balor, man, because for me, it's just been going downhill.
I think they get awfully lazy with him because they know that they can do
the demon
and just have him sort of rebooted. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's...
And I hate it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I hate it. It's just like, I know what Finn Balor can do. I mean, come on. We just saw a nice, I don't know how long that match was. It was a couple minutes. We saw how much fun that was. Like, I just feel like there could be like so much more, and just like everything else that's been going on. If this would have just been like this, what we saw right now, I'd be like, all right, whatever. You know, everything started out good. It works to the benefit of the story. But everything that we've been seeing prior with Finn Balor has just made me feel like, man, he's almost feels like he's going the Jeff Hardy route where like they like really suck the fun out of him for a bit, and now obviously things have changed for Jeff Hardy, but he kind of feels like they're sucking the fun a little bit out of Finn Balor. So I'm 50-50.
Yeah. So guys,
Sean, you seem really sad today.
I'm not really sad. It's like, I don't know how to approach this because like no matter what I say, it's going to get taken out of context. You know, you know how it is. Like, Becky and Liv had a promo that I liked, but man, the subject matter of it really annoys me.
Like, you mean part where she mentioned the WWE releases?
Of course. And it happened several times during the show. And I had former WWE wrestlers, former WWE producers, and a current WWE wrestler that were all telling me how bad a taste they thought that was. This is not the first time this has happened. Denise, last week I had posted that I liked the Becky Lynch promo, but when she's talking about how nobody stepped up in her absence, I really hate it because it's not their fault. It's not Becky's fault. It's not any of the wrestlers' fault. It's WWE's fault. And Liv Morgan said, "Your fat contract is why my friends aren't here anymore." And there was somebody I follow on Twitter, and I'm not going to name him because I don't know if he would want credit for this, but he's like, "You don't do that. Your boss tells you to say that." Like, you know what I mean? Like, that line probably doesn't come from Liv Morgan. It probably comes from who's writing the script or Vince McMahon.
We know it does not come from Liv Morgan. Yeah.
Of course. And that ain't Becky's fault. It ain't Liv's fault. It's WWE's fault. And Denise, a year before you and I ever did a podcast together, WWE had this big reboot because their show sucked real bad. And they had the McMahons come out and they said, no more authority figures. That sucked, and that's why the show sucked. It's Baron Corbin's fault that the show sucked. Well, no, it was WWE's fault for putting Baron Corbin on TV that much, because that did suck. It wasn't good. It wasn't fun to that level. We've seen Baron Corbin be fun and good. And they blame on-screen characters for their own shortcomings. Now, I get it. Within kayfabe, you can't say, we book worth shit, wink, wink. But you know what you can do, Denise? Not say it at all. You don't have to reference it a bit. And Becky and Liv are doing the best that they can out of this. Becky always does. Liv always does. She always maximizes what she has. It's just very frustrating that that's their mentality. That's their way that they do things. And that annoys me.
See, I like, look, so before, because here's the thing. I feel like everything around that was phenomenal. And you just said that. It was phenomenal. Like, I thought Liv Morgan really brought it. She held her own. Good for her, because, you know, this is really the official, like, test for her. Like, can she go, you know, toe-to-toe with Becky Lynch, you know, on the mic and all of that? And she definitely is. She's holding her own. Good for her, et cetera. Becky Lynch, I loved everything that she did. You know, she's been, I haven't been a big fan of the Becky Lynch heel character. But when you have Liv Morgan, who is this very likable baby face, and you have her going up against Becky Lynch, it's easy to, you know, kind of have your reactions fall into place. It was very, very easy for me. There was a lot that I did like in this, like basically just like them, you know, trying to burn each other and all of that. And the part where she said, you're the reason that, you know, your big fat greedy contract is the reason why my friends are gone. It was a good line if you don't think about the real life implications of that, which is kind of hard because that's the reason why it's an oh shoot line. But here's the thing. This is why I like, even though it was a momentous like ooh moment, it didn't really necessarily feel, it didn't feel like it actually made sense in the story though. Like to me, it didn't necessarily make sense to use that because it's not like it's just, because, okay, they stated budget cuts, right? Okay, so you could say like, oh, finger pointing, you know, this person's contract or this person's contract, but that's not the general gist of it, though. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
They made it, they tried to make it make sense for the story, but it didn't make sense if you think about everything and all of the, you know, outside stories and everything that went into that. But other than that, like, I loved this promo. I loved everything, like everything from Liv Morgan, everything from Becky Lynch. I really, really enjoyed it. And I mean, it kind of sucks that like, obviously they had to kind of resort to this, but for everything else.
I'm so excited for the match.
Yeah, everything else I liked.
Christopher Hart says WWE using firing employees in storyline feels icky. When it was CM Punk doing it 10 years ago, it didn't feel as icky, Denise, because he pointed the finger right at the guy who fired them. Like, he turned around and looked at Triple H and looked at Johnny Ace, and he said, did you fire Vladimir Kozlov and Harry Smith and Chris Masters to their face? This was a bit different. This was saying, Becky, it's your fault.
But why are we like, I almost feel like we're not even should be surprised. Like, look at everything that went down with Drake Maverick.
Oh, when I know.
With his release and the whole video and then using that and then him getting released again. Like, why are we surprised?
Good on him, because Drake Maverick's a brilliant guy, but he's not brilliant enough to film, edit, produce, and post a release video within 2 minutes. And 2 minutes after his release, he knew that was coming. So good on that guy. Nerd Guru says, hate that they're using real life firings and story to have Becky be the scapegoat because of her contract while it's non-existent budget cuts. WWE doesn't have a salary cap, Denise. They have a budget, but they don't have a salary cap. They can pay people as much or as little as they want. And yeah. And Orlando says, you can tell when the crowd noise was added to the contract signing with Becky and Liv. No crowd noise when RK-Bro tag matches just because of Randy Orton. He is perpetually over. Orlando says, I didn't like today's Raw from a few promos where they talked about releasing talent. It was in poor taste, in my opinion. it seems like that is the prevailing belief. But immediately after this, it's like, oh, hey, by the way, we got a 5-on-5 match. Show the graphic. And I was like, what? And earlier, one of the other things that I thought was a little bit weird was like, Liv Morgan was like, throw into a video. I hate it when wrestlers throw it to a video. But in this situation, I loved it. Because while Becky's on screen crying, you hear Liv like, ha-ha, like, I loved her, like, trolling Becky over that. So usually I think that's weird to be like, and here's this video. But I think it worked there. But we did get a 10-woman tag match, which was a bit out of left field. What did you think about how they set that up?
It kind of did feel a little bit like, for me, it was just kind of one of those things where, man, we just came out of the Survivor Series and already we're going into this match. All right, great. But I'll be honest with you. I really struggled to get into this match. It felt very just like random. I didn't care. There was nothing in this match that was done that made me go, oh, wow. There was not one moment that I can say that I felt like, oh, wow, okay, this is good. You know, I did like Liv Morgan getting the win. I thought that was good for her and for her team and everything that she, you know, obviously she's heading into this match with Becky Lynch. All right, cool. I did like that. The post-match brawl and Becky Lynch essentially going right after Liv Morgan. Okay, that was cool and all. But to be honest, this just kind of felt like, I would have preferred to see Liv Morgan in a random singles match against I don't know who, against somebody.
I liked this match. I liked it for several reasons. It went a long time. Like the segment, just that segment went a really long time. That's completely separate of Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan. Like this match has been built up an awful lot tonight. And we had the 5-on-5. So you have 10 women getting highlighted. It's not just Becky and Liv. Liv ends up getting the pin on Tamina. So it's a pin on Liv wins. She needs to win. Give her the win. She's the challenger. Tamina ain't going to hurt her. She can take a pin. She'll be all right. Also, they dropped her in the middle of the match. Oh, no. So I have people all weekend. Like I would talk to ex-WWE stars this weekend for interviews. And multiple of them were like, Tamina's the locker room mom. She's so sweet. She takes care of everybody. Then she gets dropped on her head. Oh, no. What a bummer. But I thought the booking of this was really good because Liv got the win. Tamina ate the pin. Becky looked disheveled outside the ring. This got a lot of time. I thought this accomplished an awful lot. It didn't seem like you shared my enthusiasm with that.
No, I didn't. I'm sorry, Sean. And I can already tell there's other things we didn't share the same opinion on because I saw your Twitter. Now I'm saving it till we get to the actual moment.
For that. Cyclops says Becky returning as a heel has helped no one. Yikes. Yeah, I agree.
Hold on. Okay, I feel like there's been hits and misses. Like the first portion of it was a bunch of misses. I was not here for it. But the last like two, three weeks maybe, I haven't necessarily been hating it.
Yeah, I think she's doing as best she can with it. JoJo says, I disagree, Sean. Liv came off as a heel mocking Becky. The fans cheered Becky in the segment. This heel turn is not working. Fans don't want to boo her. Oh, I definitely understand that some people took Liv laughing at that as being a heel. And normally I would too. It was just the way that Liv laughs popped me. It was just so funny. It was so funny to me. But I do understand why some people would look at that and say that's a heel thing to do, making fun of somebody in an emotional, serious moment. Absolutely.
But she was sort of getting revenge because after what Becky Lynch did to her, where she was saying, no, you want to cry, Liv? You want to cry?
Yeah.
She was getting revenge. So I don't necessarily see it like that. I see it as like, oh, you want to mess with me? Well, I want to mess with you too. She's, you know, has a little edge to her. Good for her. She's not going to be a dumb baby face. She's going to get, you know, some anger back. So I feel like that made sense given the fact that Becky was bullying her.
Yeah, there was a spot that disappointed me, but it's because I had unrealistic expectations, Denise. When Dana Brooke got up on the top rope and she did that fall, it was really awesome. I love that fall to the outside. But Carmella was up there with her, so I thought, okay, she's going to get superplexed, and that's cool. But then Zelina got up there too, and I was like, oh, is Dana going to superplex both of them?
You thought that?
For a brief second, I did. I was like, oh, are they going to do this? But it didn't happen. KE775 says, pleasantly surprised Vince seems to like Doudrop. Now he just needs to give her name back. Well, when I spoke to her, she said, at first I didn't like it, but I decided I'm going to make it mine and force people to either love it or hate it. So more power to
you
her.
You know what it reminds me of? Okay, are you a Friends fan, Sean?
Not a fan, but I'm, of course, I watched plenty of it. I grew up in the 90s.
Okay, well, there was an episode where Rachel and Ross are trying to come up with the baby's name, but every time they don't like something, they say Vito, and they keep saying Vito, Vito, Vito over and over. And then Phoebe's like, you know, Vito's starting to sound nice, right? That's exactly what this Doudrop thing is. Like, once you, it's not that it's starting to sound nice, but once you hear something over and over and over again, it almost just like stays with you and it starts sounding, you know, different. So that's what the whole Doudrop thing reminds me of, where you hear it so many times that it doesn't sound as bad as the first time that it was revealed.
We need to do a show where we just talk about the shows that each other likes and don't like, because I think people would watch that.
I think so too. Maybe crazy, we'll do it. And we'll do crazy, it in 2 years like we always do.
Yeah, we released that forcible entry thing. Like me and Denise mentioned that to each other last year, because I was like, oh no, Denise is about to get hired by WWE. I got to put content in the can. And it took us 10 months, but we finally did it. And people liked it.
Well, Denise, always got to depress me, Sean. Listen,
selfishly, I think we're both pretty happy.
Oh yeah. No, definitely. Look, like, Sean, I don't want no heat, man. I'm done getting this heat.
I'm stoked now. At the time I was like, well, that's bad, but there you go.
No comment. I don't want to get heat.
Crazy says, after that amazing 10-woman tag match, I have to ask, after seeing Liv's performance and with WWE usually having the face stand tall before going into a title match before losing to the heel, do you think she has a chance of winning? Have they announced this for day one?
Liv Morgan, Becky Lynch is taking place next week on Raw.
Okay, so yeah.
Do you think they're gonna prolong it and make it like, yes, where they have like 20 matches eventually, yes, getting to day one, kind of like what they did? What did they do that with? Oh, they did that with somebody.
Everybody.
Everybody. SummerSlam. When they did like Charlotte, Nikki, like a zillion times.
Street Profits versus American Alpha, Alpha Academy, which we're about to talk about. Yes. Let's talk about that match. It happened. Street Profits won. Omos and AJ were at ringside and tried to get involved. We have seen enough of these matches. Stop doing these matches. Yes, I do think that Liv stands a decent chance of winning the title, though. If it goes till day one, I think she has a pretty good chance.
You want to know my only note for that tag team match was?
What's that?
Quote, nice frog splash from Montez always on Gable. That was always my only note on this match. I mean, at this point, I might as well put that even before the match even happens.
Yeah.
It's very depressing.
Well, see, I always get fooled into thinking that Street Profits matches are like amazing because Montez does something amazing in every match. Every single match, he does at least one thing that is just awesome. But after this, like, AJ couldn't get the distraction done. Do you think they are teasing towards going to this? Because I think AJ and Omos have sort of run their course. It's just, I don't know what Omos has. Like, he going to be?
They did the whole, like, Omos was, like, staring him down afterwards. And they kind of hung in there for a while where AJ Styles had the oops, like, with WTF face. And Omos had the I'm sick of you face. So yeah. After that, like, exchange, I feel like that's definitely something that they're teasing. But I don't know where I don't know where this is going to leave Omos. I mean, I'm sure they're going to protect him and all that. But damn, you don't got to bring AJ down. Like, that's it. Like, he already did his job. I feel AJ Styles has already done more. He's already gone above and beyond for Omos.
If anybody can get a good match out of Omos, it's going to be AJ Styles, too. But, I mean, AJ's got to prepare for this match. He's got to eat his Wheaties, but you know what? Actually, he doesn't. He can prepare by taking his Athletic Greens. When you go to athleticgreens.com/Fightful, I switched to Athletic Greens because I was getting tired of taking a regular multivitamin. It has replaced my multivitamin. That was kind of upsetting my stomach. This doesn't. I take it first thing in the morning. I take a scoop with some water, and it digests so well. It has me feeling good, energetic throughout the day. I've been trying to get my energy in different ways besides the standard way through an energy drink that I had been. One scoop of Athletic Greens One has 75 multivitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, including a multivitamin, multimineral, probiotic, green superfood blend, and more in one convenient daily serving. You don't have to worry about taking a bunch of pills, taking a bunch of tablets, all that good stuff. Instead, Athletic Greens One gets one scoop in, and you're good to go. And you're good to go. It supports a healthy immune system, which is very, very important, probably more than ever in our lifetime. It aids with gut health and digestion. It's a good time, guys. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free. Contains less than 1 gram of sugar. Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune-supporting free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase when you visit athleticgreens.com/Fightful today. That's athleticgreens.com/Fightful. Do that today, my friends. Guy who I just interviewed, Baron Black, was singing the praises of Athletic Greens. And let me tell you, if you've ever seen him in the ring, you see he's got his mind in the right place when it comes to nutrition and all that good stuff. So check it out, athleticgreens.com/Fightful. I tried their product. I liked it. I hit them up and I said, let's do some business. And happily, they accepted.
Sean, can I start getting paid extra every time I'm put on the spot?
No.
Because I'm running out of faces to make, man.
Muted. Normhausen says, wishing you two a very nice Raw watching. After dark elevation, my Washington football team made their way into the playoffs for now. Pretty good Monday. Denise, the Bengals won yesterday, but you want to know what's even better?
What?
On Saturday, I interviewed White Mike. Lovely. Not Mike White, but White Mike.
Lovely.
It's pretty interesting.
I don't care. 0% interest.
Muted. James Boris says, no step host? My arm is stuck in the dryer while watching Raw. What are you doing, step host?
Denise, have you ever gotten... best step host ever.
Oh my God, you did the homework.
No, I did not do the homework. Hells no, bro. Ah. I ain't about that life, okay?
Bro.
Look, okay? Like, that ain't for me, man.
Denise.
What?
Oh my gosh. Cyclops says, Martin is greater than Friends. Martin is a superior 90s TV show. Oh, yeah, absolutely. RK-Bro defeated the Dirty D-Wags, Denise. Randy Orton breaks the WWE TV match record. Incredible longevity that he's had. Before this, Riddle is like upset that Randy Orton is not is not wearing shorts and riding down to the ring barefoot on his scooter. I think there's still plenty of gas in RK-Bro. I think they're going to keep going until at least WrestleMania season. I think that this is going to continue. And the match was good. I mean, Ziggler and Rude are really, really good. I think that Bobby Rude is one of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time. Like, within the confines of a tag team match, this guy just gets it on such a ridiculous level. I think he gets it on the level that you always hear people in shoot interviews say, Randy Orton gets it. I think to tag team wrestling, his psychology is that. But how did you feel about
this? Talk about the wig, Sean?
Yeah, let's talk about the wig. Orton closes his eyes and he's got a Riddle wig on. Like, what more do you want me to say?
I don't know. It was so dumb, but I loved it though. It was one of those things where I was like, all right, this is really incredibly stupid, but I'm going to laugh about it. That was funny. It was unexpected. I wasn't expecting to, you know, Randy Orton's had an interesting year, man. He had to wear a wig. He had black liquid coming out of his mouth. What else? I'm sure there was more that I can't think about right now. He's had a very interesting year, been trying a lot of interesting stuff on Raw.
I like this match. I like that it was a match with stakes on Raw. I knew who was going to win this. But, I mean, a match with stakes on Raw, you gave me a reason to watch it. Sure.
I like this. Some of my favorite parts were, I really liked Dolph Ziggler's dropkick. I thought it was really nice.
Oh, it's an amazing dropkick.
Very, very nice. I liked everything that led up to the zigzag, like everything that led up to it, I thought was pretty fun. So it was like a nice, like, nice tease because that ended up being a near fall. So I liked that. I like how right after that, Brandi hit the RKO out of nowhere, got the win. It was a fun matchup.
Yeah, I thought so too. And again, stakes on this show. Why not do it? Why not have tag team title matches?
Remember the one time I misspelled stakes and you caught me?
Yes.
Now for the rest of my life, every time I hear the word stakes, I think about that and it freaking pisses me off.
Veer Mahan is coming, Denise.
Dude, I thought you were going to say Veer Mahan was on our chat. I got a little nervous. I was like,
we're more likely to see him in our chat than we are on Raw. Hurt Business against the Mysterios. The Hurt Business have been like deceptively successful. Like they've won more matches than I thought they had since they got back together. And then after this, we had a Lashley, or later on, we had a Lashley vignette. They're hyping Lashley back up for.
I love that.
I do too. I do too. Remind us of what he's accomplished, and they're very good at those videos. So why not? But Hurt Business and Mysterios, I'm all for this too, because why wouldn't the Mysterios face these two guys that are in with Bobby Lashley? This is another common sense booking. It's one of those things that WWE has lacked for a very long time. And like, there's a reason for this match. I'm glad it happened.
I will say this. Like, I think what I really liked about this match was that it was easy. You had Rey Mysterio going in there and doing most of the brunt of the work for, you know, for him and Dominic. Okay. But then you have Dominic actually go and get the win. And also I want to take a second because Dominic has like his frog splash has been like, ooh, but this last frog splash that he did tonight, I thought has been a big improvement on some of his past frog splashes. And now to be fair, when you see Montez Ford do his frog splash and when you see anybody else do a frog splash, it's kind of like, you know, obviously it's going to be a big difference, but his frog splash improved. That was one of the things that I did notice during this match that I wanted to point out, but I liked it. I liked, I loved the lead up to the double 619. I thought that was fun. And like I said, I like Rey Mysterio pretty much getting most of it done and then having Dominic coming in there, getting the win. Cool. Fun and simple. But I really did love that Bobby Lashley vignette, though. I really wish they would do more of that because it was kind of like a, you know, obviously, you know, Bobby Lashley, you know, his accomplishments. But this was a nice little reintroduction to, hey, who the hell is this man?
Even introducing people, I mean, Val Venus's vignettes back in the day. And you can say what you want about Crime Time's vignettes and the content of them and Muhammad Hassan's. But when they showed up, people knew who they were and there was a reaction built in. That was when I used to do a show with Vince Russo years ago. That was a big thing that he hammered home. He's like, if you've got new talent coming, promote them. Like, let people have a built-in, like, understanding. Because that was a big thing for Val Venus. People knew his music when he showed up. So exactly. There was a pop.
And that's the one thing, too, like, on SmackDown, like, I know we're not talking about SmackDown, but I like what they did with Xia Li because I think that's a good example of that. Like, that comic book thing that they did. I thought, it, you know, if they keep doing more stuff like that, I don't know when they're eventually planning on bringing her in, but I liked that. But they didn't do that for Ridge Holland. And that was one of the things that I thought that they should have done for Ridge Holland. And so it makes a big difference where it's like, I feel more pumped to see Xia Li than had they not done these little vignettes. And obviously, you know, this is coming from somebody that watches NXT, but if you don't watch NXT and a lot of people don't, then, you know, Xia Li is obviously going to be a new character for these people.
Guys, please get in your super chats and your humper chats. We greatly appreciate that. Trevor L says, Sean, how was your Bojangles experience this weekend? I'm sure Jeremy was proud. I actually got breakfast from there right before WrestleCade on Saturday. And then like I was doing the networking thing and talking with people and trying to set up interviews. And I didn't have time to go to the concession stand. And then Jay-Z Graham pops up, and he's a fellow that runs around with a Bojangles suit and a belt, title belt, and he had told me before that if I gave him a hug, he would give me a Bojangles sandwich. And he did, and it was delicious. Can be bought.
Wait, hold on. You exchanged a hug for a sandwich?
Yeah, of course.
Sean, do you see the issue here?
No, not at all.
A hug for a sandwich.
Yeah. Why? You've okay. Never done that?
No. Hey, everybody, I have never said I'm going to give you a hug and in exchange for a sandwich.
If you see Denise at a show, give her a sandwich and she'll give you a hug.
No. I'll take $20 and I'll give you a hug.
Really? $20?
Yeah, $20, man.
We're selling hugs now?
Hell
listen,
yeah.
Listen, if I upsell it and I get like $30, can I keep the extra 10?
Wait, so now you're pimping me out?
I wasn't saying it. You were saying it.
You literally just said, if I can get you a hug for $30, can I keep the $10?
Denise, for $30, will give you a hug.
So now you're promoting my hugs.
We'll give you a hug and sign an item of your choice.
Okay, no. It's not going to happen.
Warhausen says SRS is a sandwich hoe. Yeah, I am. I for sure am.
Sandwich hoe?
Like, is that an insult? Raphael says Friends was a ripoff of Living Single, period. Yeah,
man, there's a lot of Friends haters on here. Damn.
I am way more partial to Living Single. I really liked Living Single. That was a great show.
Don't tell me you're those people that are like, oh, I don't like this because it's so popular and everybody likes it. And I want to be special and like the things that aren't as loved by everybody.
Living Single was just as loved by everybody who
watched
it. Well,
I haven't seen it. I've only seen Friends.
You should watch it. You should watch it. You would really like it. Okay. Nerd Guru sends us a super chat and says, love the AEW reference from Edge. He should have called him more famous MJF or PG MJF. Is anyone else salivating at the idea of Edge and Punk? Well, let's talk about it. I like this segment a lot, too. Edge comes out. He's talking about moving forward. And then The Miz is back. And he's with Maryse. Maryse is such a star. She looks awesome. They both got this great get up, this great gear. Maryse has always added so much to The Miz's act. I felt that when she was a wrestler, like her body language, her verbal stuff was so, even the nonverbal body language stuff and the heat that she would get there was so far beyond everybody else. She gets being a heel to a natural level. Also, I want them to bring Marjo in. She's got to come in and beat the entire roster consecutively. Goldberg pushed for her. But I just love having Maryse back. Let's talk about that.
I'm sure you loved having Maryse back, Sean.
She rules. She's awesome.
Are you going to ask her for a sandwich?
Okay. I mean, sure.
Continue on.
Sure.
So I thought this was hilarious. So first of all, the part that I thought was hilarious was that when Edge came out and he's all saying like, I can't wait to wrestle guys like AJ Styles and Big E and Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, all of these people, right? And then The Miz comes out and I was just like, I thought it was hilarious. I'm sorry. It was ironic. Anyway, so The Miz comes out and I'm thinking, okay, I don't really care about this, whatever. Well, put an egg on my face because I loved this segment. I thought this was probably one of the best things that we've seen on Raw in like a hot minute because this was a lot of fun. Okay. But first of all, I got to give this like completely like Edge went in there and I know we don't like the release line, but it did get me to be like, he said it. Oh my God, he said it. So it got a reaction out of me. So if you want to say that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know, but it got a reaction out of me. I really, really like the part where he said you have people on other shows saying your name just to get a cheap reaction. You live rent-free in the minds of a lot of people. I thought that was phenomenal because here's the thing, and Sean, and you can correct me here, but how many times, because I don't really remember that many times where like someone on WWE has made an obvious reference to something on AEW. Like I was trying to think back to some of these and I couldn't really think of any that I like remember off the top of my head where like someone made an obvious, you know, remark.
Well, Sami Zayn has mentioned it on like, he's mentioned, oh, I might go to AEW, and Edge has been sneaky in the past, like in the promo where Seth Rollins broke into his house. He mentioned the real names of Dax and Cash and said, call them, or I'm calling them, they'll be over there, which I love. That added such an air of realism because people know that they're friends. But Big E has made references to like Mount Rushmore and stuff like that. But this was that stuff was more like wink, nod. This was outright. And I love this reference. Why not make this reference? It's harmless. It makes Miz look better. And that's what Edge did throughout this whole promo. Edge is saying, I know a lot of people forgot who you are, but you haven't and I haven't. Like, that's what I like. Like, sure, maybe Twitter's writing you off. Maybe the people in the audience are writing you off. You didn't write you off and I didn't write you off And that's all that matters right here, because now we're going to fight. I thought that Edge went the extra mile to make Miz look incredible. I thought it was really, really great.
I thought he did too. And even like when he did say that, you know, basically saying that he uses WWE to get this notoriety for his next endeavor, for his next reality show, for his next competition. And then when he says, well, you leave your partners high and dry to get fired. Like, I almost feel like it was a good line, because, you know, there's people out there that believe this.
Yeah.
And so because of that, like, it was a good line in that sense. Was it, you know, right? Probably not, because if I'm, you know, one of these guys that got released, I would kind of feel like shit that this was being used, you know, in storyline when I'm here, you know, having to change my entire life. But I thought it was an awesome promo. It was one of the best things we've seen on Raw in a while.
Michael Plowman says Miz should have mentioned that Edge's brother worked on that other show. Yeah, he could say that Miz's brother, or that Edge's brother Christian, was an absolute coward who ran from Big E earlier this year and deserves no respect from absolutely anybody. Because Christian Coward is a coward, and he didn't want to get his ass whipped by Big E. That's all I can think of. And look where Big E is now, Denise.
Yep.
World champion. Cyclops says the best step host hug money can buy. Javery Duncan says hug Ross Sapp and sandwich Salcedo to dethrone RK Bro. Alicia Ellis says Sean made me like him more when he said he liked the blueprint for Friends, which is living single. Denise, you're missing out on not having seen it. Backstory is the network that held Friends wanted a show like Living Single, so they created Friends. I mean, legitimately, if you enjoyed Friends, you would adore Living Single.
I'll watch it after. I'm still watching The Golden Girls right now.
That's a good show, too. That's a good one.
It's falling apart, though. The last couple of seasons, nothing's making sense anymore. They'd be skipping through storylines and shit like that. Freaking piss me off.
Getting a little old. Their memory is a little off, Denise. Come on, give them a break. Don't be ageist here.
No, you know what I mean. Bro, they're not being consistent with the Golden Girls storyline. It's insulting to me.
It's insulting. Oh, no. Did one of them slap the other one and say, expect the unexpected?
Might as well at this point.
B. Arthur just clocked Betty White. Oh, man.
Which Golden Girl are you most like, Sean? I'm Dorothy.
The little one with the glasses.
Sophia.
Yeah, there you go. Her.
I could see you being a Sophia.
What'd you think of the Morrison line? Idolized Rampage said, woof, that one hit hard.
Dude, it's... what can you say? It's kind of messed up.
It is kind of messed up. And I fully believe that he would have been on the chopping block the same night that Frankie Monet was if he wasn't on that European tour.
Who brought up? There was somebody, I think, that brought up on Twitter that, well, probably a lot of people brought this up, how like a bunch of couples were being cut because, you know, you had Scarlett and Karrion Kross on the same night. You had a couple of other people. It's just like, oh, it sucks. And it sucks because it's like it's you, like with Frankie Monet. And then right after that, it's your husband. Like, come on, that ain't easy.
Sheldon Jackson says Denise won't watch Living Single because she's too busy. Well, you know what? You guys aren't too busy to send in super chats or humper chats. We are heading down the home stretch. Also, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Today, I had news on the next WWE egg plan. We had a bunch of stuff today. I dropped the Inside NXT War Games video over there. I dropped the Backstage Report podcast. Steven Jensen had the Weekender podcast. I have news on a recent WWE release heading into acting, and I had WWE Raw plans for tonight. Tomorrow, I'll have news on producers and much more. We've got news just nonstop, my friends. FightfulSelect.com. But get in those super chats and humper chats as we start to wrap up. Normhausen says, Serpentico's shoulder wasn't down. Restart the 8-man match on Dark Elevation. In Virginia, we say, okay. That's why he calls it Dark Elevator. He says, in Virginia, we say elevator, Commonwealth of Champions, pal. Well, Norm, I always enjoy your excitement for that show. I don't get to watch it until days later, but it is a good, fun show. Apollo took on Damian Priest. Damian Priest won. Again, a match with stakes. I'm glad that Damian Priest won. To me, that is the story of the match, is that Damian Priest won, and he continues to not get pinned in singles matches, which I don't think is a coincidence that he has never been pinned on the main roster in a singles match. And we're looking at him being up there for almost a year.
That's a win for somebody on the Raw roster. That's a major win.
Apollo Crews's last win on TV in singles action. I'm going to have to look this up because to me, it's really dumb when they're like, oh, hey, here's a title match. Now, he won one on main event last month. But other than that, Apollo Crews's last win on TV in a singles match was June 4th when he was still Intercontinental Champion. June 4th. There was no reason to put him in this match. And if they were, Denise, you know what they could do? He could have won some matches and said, give me my title shot. And Damian Priest could say, hell yeah, I'll give you your title shot. You're winning matches.
Damn, June 4th.
Yeah.
Bro, that's like, I don't know, is that summer? I think we were still in summer. When's the first day of summer? July? No, that's not even July. That's till July.
I think that was spring.
That was spring. Sorry, I'm not very good at seasons here in California. Man. They're all the same to me.
Damn.
But you know what, though? Like, at least, like you mentioned, it's a pro that we're seeing Damian Priest pick up some wins, keep him building strong. Oh, he was also one of the names that Edge named in his promo.
Yeah.
That's something.
It is something. I mean, earlier this year when I interviewed Bobby Lashley, like, that was the first name that he brought up when I said, who do you want to defend the title against? And it can't be Lesnar or Goldberg. He said, well, Damian Priest. And I think it's because he's been winning.
That's
and
good.
I'm glad
they've
that
seen
Priest
him
won.
In that level, and that's important, especially if the other guys do too.
And I think he can compete at that level. I think, again, effortlessly cool is the thing that I keep thinking. And he's good in the ring. I buy what he does every single time. I wish that music was different, though.
I miss the old theme song. That was my favorite, man.
Speaking of theme song, Cyclops says, in a 90s kind of world, I'm glad I got my girls living single. He didn't add the living single. I did. Brandon Charles Powell says, I remember how last year, how Lashley was protected all year and eventually won the title. Hope that's in Priest's future as well. I hope something big is at least competing for it, because to me, this is how people who eventually challenge for the title should be built, Denise. And what my fear is that they'll have him lose the IC title or US title, get pinned, then challenge for the world title, which I hate when they do that.
Well, Sean, they did tease a couple, what frick one was it when they teased Bobby Lashley, Damian Priest? It was prior to the draft, I think, prior to some pay-per-view, but they did make a big tease to that. And obviously, you know, Bobby Lashley ended up losing the title and all of that, but they did tease that. So, hell, maybe we'll go back to it soon enough. I think that would be a good way to kind of, you know, bring things back together again. I think that would be a good way to do that.
Main event. So this was set up in a pretty funny way. Kevin Owens is backstage and he goes up to Seth Rollins and he's like, oh, by the way, I get added to the title match if I win against Big E. And Seth Rollins had got this promo and broke the news that he was going to face Big E at day one, like over 2 months after he earned his title shot. He was doing that. So Rollins is like, no, you're a liar. This didn't happen. So he goes to Adam Pearce, and Adam Pearce is like, yeah, he lied about it. But Sonya says, but it's a real good idea. So Kevin Owens, like, LeVar Balled this. He willed it into existence. And then it happened, and Rollins was livid. He was livid, and he was ringside for commentary. I love this approach for Kevin Owens that lying is the best policy.
I liked it because they telegraphed it. You knew the second that he went up to, that he approached to Seth Rollins and he said this. And it was one of those things where I was almost like, I almost fell for it, where I thought, okay, like, this is happening, right? If, you know, if he wins, okay, he's in the match. I fell for it. But then when they kind of, you know, when he told them, like, yeah, go ask Adam Pearce, like, he'll tell you, yeah, go for it. Then I thought, okay, it's clearly, I already knew from there on that he's going to, I actually thought it was going to be the other way around. I thought it was going to be Seth ask Adam Pearce, and then Adam Pearce goes, well, now that you mention it, that's a good idea, so let's do it. I didn't think that they were going to have Sonya do it, but when Adam Pearce, I thought they were going to have Adam Pearce do it, actually. But I like this. I thought that was a really clever way to, like, A, like, get the match going, and, but, like, B, give you, get you, like, a little bit excited about it. And he ended up fooling him twice. Got the best out of him tonight.
Match was good. This is a rare situation where I'm glad that a DQ finish happened, and it makes sense because Kevin Owens has been manipulating Seth Rollins all night long. He manipulated his way into this stipulation.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And then when things were getting rough for Kevin Owens at the end of the match, he attacks Seth Rollins, knowing that Seth Rollins can't keep his cool. Not after everything that Rollins has been put through the last week. Like, you could even apply the fan attacking him into that. Like, Rollins has been through it the last 7 days. He attacked Finn Balor. Finn Balor attacked him. He had a match. He got his match at day one. Then it could possibly be changed. Then he watched Owens manipulate his way in. So Rollins right now, justifiably a little unhinged. And it worked out. It worked out perfectly. USD says Owens is out here doing Inception shenanigans. Super Pony says, is Owens staying? Because it seems like it. Yeah, I think he will. But we'll see. Who knows? Oblivious Kyrie says, I was conditioned to believe Big E would get pinned. That was my fear, Denise. I want Owens, Rollins, Big E. I didn't want Big E to get pinned, and I was very fearful of that.
See, I like your explanation. I get your explanation, but I actually think, and the part you mentioned, okay, he's unhinged. Maybe he's not in his right frame of mind. Okay, I can see why he would attack Kevin Owens. He was taunted and all of that good stuff. But if he really wanted to get back at Kevin Owens, he should have attacked Big E instead. So for me, I just thought, had you taken an extra 10 seconds, Seth, to think about this, you could have pissed off Kevin Owens by essentially costing him this, costing him this match. So I actually think he should have attacked Big E, which is why I wasn't necessarily that crazy about the actual finish.
Nerd Guru says, I suggest Seth beats KO at day one, then KO leaves, then Big E could win the Rumble and gets Roman while Edge gets Seth at Mania. You know what? I've heard of a lot worse ideas, but I think we're going towards Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, but I wouldn't mind another Big E. I wouldn't have minded if they just didn't do Big E, Roman Reigns at Survivor Series. That should have been New Day Bloodline if it wasn't going to be a title match anyway. And then eventually you could do Big E versus Roman Reigns, because I think they could build that to where those two are standing across each other from the ring, in the ring, and it's a WrestleMania moment. I think that's a WrestleMania main event if they did it right. But I think
we got it at Survivor Series.
But we got it at Survivor Series. Same thing like Becky and Ronda. Like, we almost got that at Survivor Series. If Becky wouldn't have broken her nose, who knows how things would have changed for that. Sheldon says, let's never forget the time Living Single came out with a new episode and it aired during halftime of the Super Bowl. And the next year, Michael Jackson did the halftime.
What does it tell us, Sean, that we mentioned one show one time and we get more Super Chats about that than the entire 3 hours of Raw that we're talking about here?
It's a good show, though. It is a very good show. Please check it out, guys, if you haven't already. Living Single is a classic, and I don't like a lot of network sitcoms. It's pretty much like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, maybe some Modern Family and Seinfeld, and then like Living Single and Martin from the 90s. And that's about it.
Otherwise, I didn't know you watched Modern Family. I love that show.
Like here, it was impossible to miss for a while because it was on USA all the time. And Ed O'Neill's very funny. I thought Married with Children was funny at times, but I think he's hilarious. And yeah, so it was okay.
Yeah, I think next week we should just come on here and talk about shows.
I mean, there's a good possibility that could end up happening one week. But guys, check out myself and Denise and Chris Van Vliet and Shaquille Majuri did the first ever Fightful Roundtable. Now, that was originally going to be a Fightful Select feature. We don't know what we're going to do with it now. It did really, really great numbers. So what we might do is we might slap a sponsor on it or something like that and bring it to you guys free every month. We got some great, great reception for that. Of course, we thank Denise and Chris for coming on there. But Denise, what else you got going on?
Well, Sean, you forgot to promote that this weekend. This weekend on Sunday. Yeah, we're going to be doing NXT War Games.
Yeah, I think you're going to be here.
I'm going to be here.
It might be you and I. It might be Jeremy. Like, the reason I didn't used to do them is because there were post-show calls. So I would be on the media call, but they just don't do them anymore. I mean, a lot of that's because of Triple H's health, but they had stopped doing them anyway. So maybe. You doing Triple Mania Saturday? I don't even know.
No, I don't think so, Sean. After they changed that main event, como que no? Sorry.
Oh, wow. Wow, Denise.
What?
Well, I probably will do Final Battle on September 11th, or not September 11th, December 11th. For those of you asking, I know a lot of you were like, what's going to go on there? I think I might do that because it might be like a farewell to ROH. So I think it'd be appropriate to do one there.
When is that?
December 11th.
Oh, I'm busy that day. Sorry.
You're busy that day. Well, guys, you can stay busy with lots of Fightful content. I'm dropping an interview with Caprice Coleman tomorrow, or Tuesday rather. On Wednesday, I'm dropping Inside NXT War Games, but I dropped a bunch of interviews last week. Silas Young. And I know you, some of you are like, okay, maybe I'm not that familiar with Silas Young's work. It's got a great look at the ROH situation. But not only that, 2.5 years ago, CM Punk ran in and did a GTS underneath a mask on Silas Young's indie show. And we talked about that, how it came together, how it was put together. And I mean, it's not a secret it was Punk, but the story is very, very interesting. Of course, Danhausen, I interview him all the time. That's up as well. There's so much stuff. Jonathan Gresham and Baron Black from last week talking Terminus, which has a crazy amount of buzz. And of course, you guys can subscribe to Fightful Select or FightfulMag.com. Thank you guys so much. Remember, if you don't watch this show live and you still want to leave your comment to be read on the air, HumperChats.com or HumperChat.com, doesn't matter. Either one will read your question on the air. We really love that when you guys show up early for that. But until next time, guys, we're out.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.